Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Ooh, man. I feel like it's been like an eternity since I have sat in front of this microphone. And ooh, I might be a little rusty today, but welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Devin Starnes, and I am joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, so good to see you. No, I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh,
how
yeah.
you doing, Evan?
Oh, man, a whole bunch of different things.
What does that mean? Like
You're like go-go gadget, right? Go-go gadget personality. That's what it means.
Hey, look at the helicopter going, right?
Yeah. We don't have the sound effect for that. But I don't know. Like, I'm doing great right now, but I'm also frustrated because this week or last week was a, and the week before were just honestly personally really difficult, just outside of work. And then just a bunch of other, oh my gosh, crazy things have happened. Like, we had a lightning strike, and I got to hear what it sounds like when a power transformer goes bang.
Light that up.
Oh, dude,
it's freaking terrifying. But yo, Kelvin. Anyway, it's been a minute too. Like we had Joe Weber's episode come out, and you've been doing a lot. So, dude, how is your like August?
Well, I tell people that, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you gotta wear a bunch of hats.
You do.
So, like, the whole journey started. I left here from San Diego, went to go do the AfterSight hike. Was there for 7 days. Did my thing. Came back home for 1 day. Flew out back to Denver, Colorado, and then went to Kentucky to work on the new version of the See Me Cane. Went from Kentucky back to Colorado, back home for 1 day, took the kid and I hop on a plane for the first time together. I tell you, I was nervous taking on foster kid through this TSA. That was an experience.
Bet. For the first time? Oh my God.
So we made it, and then made it to the mountains, did our vacation, came back home, and then I get home, and it's just me and the kid. My wife is out for the week, And I'm like, how am I a parent by myself? Like, this is not normal for me. Parenting blind and deaf with a kid that wants to take advantage of you all the time. And if you're new to me, I foster kids, and this kid likes to take advantage that I can't see.
Like, oh boy.
He did this. He went to the liquor store down the street and bought some Dr. Pepper and all this stuff. And he did it without me ever knowing that he left the house. And I was like, wait,
problem.
Like, you know, it'd be nice if you informed me that you're going to go do this. Hey, I wouldn't have stopped. I mean, but no.
It's root beer. But you could have, you know, for all you know, he could have gone out and stolen your ID and tried to get some alcohol.
Well, don't get me started. I don't really want to put out the rest of the results after my wife came back. It was a lot worse than I ever thought. So that's where I'm going to stop that story, because I don't need to put all his stuff on the record. So
yeah. Speaking of putting things on record, though, we're going to talk today about recorders.
Exactly. I tell you, recorders are one of those things that I just, it's like, you can't, if you truly are doing audio and you got a moment, just take that moment and like talk to it.
They're fun.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them out there. And when it comes to trying to find the best recorder that meets your needs, that's what we're here for, especially if you're blind or low vision, because when it comes to accessible recorders and stuff like that, there's a lot out there. But first, before we get into it, I think it's actually time for our tech piece of the week. So my tech piece of the week this week is actually, well, it was sitting here right next to me, but it's not now. My HIMS BrailleSense 6 note taker, solely because this thing is, I mean, yes, it's very, very, very expensive. I would not recommend buying one out of pocket. That's something I'd always recommend like a government organization or something try to get for you. But that thing, honestly, like even just having it connected to my computer as a Braille display, it's great for just text typo checking, and it's got stereo mics on it that sound pretty good. You know, you can watch YouTube. It's a great little device. So that is my tech piece of the week. But Kelvin, you got one?
I've been trying to wrap up my mind because I realized I forgot to bring that today. You know, it got left at the house. And I tell you, but one of the things that kind of really has helped me out a lot, and we've interviewed people from this agent, the company, is these last few weeks has been Ira. Ira has saved me as a parent, has helped me find things that I couldn't find, and it helped me be able to get all to the different locations. One of the things that I do when I use Ira is I upload all of my itinerary to them, my flight itinerary, and then all the gates I'm supposed to be at, all the phone numbers that I might need to call, and all of those things. And so essentially, like, I'm using Ira as my virtual interpreting service, but as well as my emergency service if I need to get out of the jam when I'm traveling. And there was a couple times, and especially like you talked about, the lightning strike that I found myself into. I needed to have something to help me out. And Ira was able to get me through some of those situations. And so the way I used Ira was a little bit different than what we traditionally do. But I have to say, my tech piece of the week is Ira.
Ira. That's pretty cool. It's like you're using it as like a personal assistant.
No, don't say that. I didn't say that. I said it.
For the record, Evan Starnes said that.
Calvin Crosby, virtual interpreting service for the visually impaired, not a virtual assistant. I have those, but that's not what. Not but, Ira.
But for the record, yes, I said that. So when it comes to accessible recorders, what do we exactly mean by accessible? Because I mean, pretty much any field recorder, at least that I've personally messed with, has had some form of like clicky, you know, physical buttons. You know, thank goodness none of them have adopted the touch sensitive nonsense.
Well, wait. There's a couple.
There are a couple. They have like touch screens. But so, what do you think of when it comes to just good qualities of an accessible recorder?
So I think you need to think about what did your recording need to do?
True.
That you need to think about the mic on that recorder. Because if you want directional condenser or omnidirectional, like you got to decide what kind of mic do you want on that recorder, because that's going to determine what type of sound that you're going to get in return.
And it also determines the type of recorder you can go with.
Yep.
The brand.
Exactly. And for me, when I was thinking about getting a recorder for myself, I was thinking about Simicane because I wanted to get really good quality audio in real time in the environment. And so I needed something that would give me and not peak, not do all of the extra shenanigans I didn't want, but give you that sound effect like swish, swish or
whoosh, like whoosh. A nice directional stereo kind of sound, clean, nothing, something that you can just fire up. You don't have to fiddle fart around with it. Now, as far as accessibility in a recorder goes, here's what I'm thinking, or my two cents on it. And this is honestly, these are my two cents. This is an opinion, not a fact. But a good recorder doesn't necessarily need to talk or provide any audible feedback, but it just needs to have a good and intuitive interface and be usable. So let's get into some recommendations here, because I'm pretty sure our audience is like, yeah, wait, what? You've talked about recorders, but what do we get? Yeah. So typically, if you were to ask me what kind of recorder as a blind person or low vision person that I would recommend, hands down would be Olympus's recorders. The DM series stands out in particular. They have the DM720, which is the one I have. That's actually the one we use for field recording. They have the LS series, which is kind of their upgrade from that. And they had like, they don't have the LS14, but they have the LS20 and the LS100. That was another one. And those are just, you know, it's just a beefier recorder. You can actually plug in like two separate microphones into it. Plus it has built-in ones. But the overarching feature as a blind or low vision user with those recorders is the fact that they talk and they beep. And that's a pretty big deal if you're blind and trying to navigate a recorder's interface. But Kelvin, you use Zoom recorders. So what has your experience been like with the Zoom recorders you have? You and I have actually a similar one.
Yeah. So I think for me, my purpose wasn't necessarily the accessibility side. Mine was to try to get the best sound for the longest battery
life. Best sound, best battery life. Yeah. So and accessibility wasn't as important.
Yeah. Because so I have the Zoom N1.
H1.
There must be.
Because there's the H4N. There is an N in if you have the Zoom H4. Upgrade from me.
Yeah, I have the most newest version or whatever they have. So it has a cage over it. It has two directional, if I remember right.
Yeah, they're XY mics.
Yeah.
And a gloriously, beautifully simplistic interface.
Yep. And the nice thing with it is I knew that if I'm in a jam and I need to do an interview, all I have to do is plug in a headset mic or a lavalier mic and I can even get better audio.
Right.
And that was the other thing with this. And it has audio out. So that way you could plug this into your computer and get audio out and get audio in and use it as a live streaming device.
So yeah, you can use it as a sound card.
Yeah. And so that was some of the things that I was like, all right, I can put this on my DSLR camera. I can drop it on top of it. This could be the main mic for it, or I can plug a mic in and have a secondary recorder. There was so many features to this that from a recording standpoint, I was like, I want this. But there are some hurdles with this. And this is, again, how I use Ira, is I would sit this on the table and then put my phone over it. And then Ira would help me read the screen.
Right.
But the nice thing is everything to move everything on the Zoom M1 is
H1.
I'm going to keep
on that one.
Yeah. You're going to get me on that one every single time. But everything on it is tactile. So the audio gain knob is...
it's a rocker pretty much, isn't it? Like up and down.
Yeah, it's a wheel. And then the turn it on is a rocker. And then to get all of the other settings going, it's all touch, and then you have your playback and all that stuff. But the playback part isn't very accessible because that one doesn't talk. This doesn't talk to you. But
right,
the audio that comes out of it is amazing. That's why I made the decision.
Right. This one. I think they sound better. I do think Zoom recorders just sound better than than at least from my experiences, and also within that price range, they are a little like just cleaner sounding. But here's the thing with these Zoom recorders, and this might be obvious to some, especially if you're techie and you know follow audio and stuff. Zoom actually just a few months ago came out with their new Essential series of recorders, that being the Zoom H1E, which is basically what you have, the H4, and the H6. And those things talk. You can go through the menus, set the time. You can change the folder that you're recording in. And, you know, and it is, I would definitely consider it accessible. But would you say, like, let's say you already had, you know, a Zoom H1 or H4, would you say that accessibility, that new accessibility quirk, would that motivate you to like jump ship and upgrade to a newer Zoom Kelvin?
Yeah, it would. Like, because the thing about it is this, I mean, we did a recording, I don't know when that's coming out, but I was on the go. And it would have been amazing to have a recorder like this, put a pop filter on it, and have it just directly go into my phone, and I could record my audio directly if we had audio issues. Like that's why. And if I knew what setting I needed to do noise canceling and all that stuff, because that's something that you can do with this, is do noise canceling and all that stuff. But I don't know what the settings are unless I have somebody do it for me.
Right.
And so I would do the upgrade.
Absolutely. I did actually use that because, yes, I did. I did on the hike do Evan on the go. I actually used the Olympus DM720 for that. With these traditional recorders, you know, if it doesn't talk to you or beep or anything, you're not really going to know if the thing dies.
Yep.
Or if you run out of memory at all.
Yeah.
You'll just find out when you've lost a whole bunch of valuable audio.
Exactly. I mean, that's what sucks. Cause that's why everything I do, if I'm in charge of the audio and the video, it's got 3 or 4 backups. I'm running it through OBS. I'm running it through a recorder. I'm running it through another mixer. So that way I don't lose it. Because, you know, if you just rely on Riverside or you rely on Zoom or something, you never know.
You don't have a backup.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a situation. I had a deadline on the radio show the other day. And the audio was garbage on Riverside. And so I was like, I got to abandon this. But I had it recorded on my Zoom P4.
There you go. And
pulled the SD card, slapped that in. Boom, there's the audio. Bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Moved on to the radio show. We were done. You know? But could I have the backup? And I think that's a big thing to think about. And there is a level of with the recorder where you're almost kind of always guaranteed you're going to at least get something out of it if you hit the record button.
Yeah, that's true.
So what do you think if you had to pick the one recorder for you for the rest of your life, what recorder would you pick?
Ooh, if I had to pick one for the rest of my life and I couldn't switch, it would be the Zoom H6. That's a big guy. You know, it's a pretty chunky recorder, but it's a do-it-all recorder. You can record, it's 4-track. You can record up to 4 tracks simultaneously. So, hey, if I wanted to produce record a band or whatever, I could do that. If I wanted to have like an interview going with me and even, you know, and up to 3 people, I could do that. Plus, you know, the fact that it's the new Essential series, it has all of the, it has the talking. Well, they actually do call it a screen reader. So it has the screen reader and beep function. So I would get that. I would, you know, like the whole setup would be completely accessible from the get-go. And I don't know if it's, you know, it's still battery powered and stuff. So it'd still technically be portable. So I feel like the Zoom, the new Zoom H6e would give me like the best of both worlds. Honestly, before that, though, before the E series came out, hands down, it would have been the Olympus LS100 would have been my second option.
So you're saying the screen reader changed it all?
The screen reader changed it all because, I mean, even being able to set the time and date.
Yeah,
it's a huge deal. It's huge. Like it's
the fact that
night and day different.
You can do it now.
Pun intended.
And I have not done microphone upgrade or recorder looked at, and now that we've had this conversation, one will be in the mail in my pocket probably by the end of the week.
Yeah, because we wanted, we were kind of bummed. I was kind of bummed last when I recorded the BLT Byte, because I had originally wanted to demo the Zoom, at least like the Zoom H1E. But the next best thing was the Olympus DM720, which you can still totally get those. They're still very much a viable option. Now, there's another thing to consider here, and this is, we're going to get real geeky here with these recorders and the new E-Series, is that they can record what's known as 32-bit float. And that basically just means significantly reduced noise floor. And noise floor, if you've ever gone back and listened to recordings and you, and there's just silence and you hear that in the background, significant reductions in that, in the hissing sound. So you just get a cleaner sound, and just higher quality audio. Now, like I said, I haven't tested this, so I'm literally just stating the facts, but that's kind of another big thing to consider with these recorders too, especially if you're really big about quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big, big situation you got to think through, is what kind of audio you're trying to get out.
Like, are you just trying to record lectures in college class, you know,
or are you trying to get like what I do, try to get sound effects out of it? I mean, because honestly, carrying a, like, if I think about it, if I carried my Zoom P4 podcast mixer that around with a microphone, I would have to get
like a briefcase and stuff, yeah, a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And be like,
hey, everybody, hey,
how's it going? Oh, this thing's heavy. I'm your host. Oh, yeah, it would be. Yeah. You and me both love that, actually. We love, like, just, I call it ambience audio or Foley design. Foley's actually such an art. So I definitely say I think you'd have a good experience if you're trying to record sound effects with either an Olympus or a Zoom recorder. I think they'd be great across the board. Now, at this point, we've pretty much talked about, you know, the user experience and particularly audio quality and particularly the digital, like, screen reader interface. But I think another thing that I'd like to kind of go back and circle back around to is actually, like, the physical design of the recorder. Mm-hmm. We talked about your Zoom H1, which has a cage around the mics. But actually, another thing with that recorder, the only button that's on the front is a record button. The playback controls are on the right. And then if you want to do things like turn on and off your low cut filter or turn on and off auto gain control, it's a physical slide switch on the back of the recorder. So just everything is right there. And, you know, as somebody who's blind and low vision, I'd have a lot easier of a time working with something that had, like, just intuitively placed controls as opposed to, like, gosh, I'm just thinking of, like, my dad has this 8-track Tascam recorder. That thing is covered in buttons of all different shapes and sizes. And, you know, I would definitely say that's more of way more overwhelming. And I'd have a hard time calling that accessible. But,
well, I mean, I think one of the biggest things is when we think about the feel and the way it works. What is a recorder for?
Exactly.
To go quickly and get that audio.
To record. It's literally a recorder is for recording. And, yeah, literally.
And it needs to be as flexible as possible in whatever environment that you put it in.
Yep.
And for some, they just need their grocery list. And let's do say this. There are accessible recorders just for you to talk to give it notes and different things like that. And there's a lot of those out there too that are also accessible.
They're just like dedicated memo recorders. Wilson mm-hmm. comes to mind, actually. You can still go on yeah. sites like the Braille Superstore or MacTAs or whatever, and under audio recorders, those things will come up all the time.
Yep. Or even your Humanware auto tracker?
Perfect Reader Track, or even yeah. the new Stream that came out. I mean, hey, that's mm-hmm. that's also got a fairly decent mono recorder built into it. mono. It's mono if you use the built-in mics.
You're a lot more techie on the mic side of things than I am. But I mean, I think what's amazing is how far we've gotten
The
blind community in regards to getting recorders that work for us. But I mean, there's still a lot of improvement that still needs to be done.
There is.
We'll really work through that. But it is exciting to see that Zoom is really taking this seriously and bringing into screen readers into their platforms. And I think it's going to be a game changer for a lot of us to be able to podcast, to be able to do on radio shows, do videos, to do things that can empower the world in a whole different way.
Exactly. Well, I've got something for you that is going to not necessarily empower the world in a certain way, but it's going to empower this podcast in a very specific way. And that actually just happens to be
the sandwich of the week.
And boy, do I have a sandwich. And oh man, this is an easy one for me. Maybe I should have waited for a better time to use this sandwich. And I'm sure Jonathan's already told you about it.
No, I haven't heard about it.
Oh,
I just
shoot.
Think how you're building it up is hilarious.
I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things to do. Well, it was a barbecue place, and I don't remember. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't remember what the name was. But that doesn't matter. What matters is the darn sandwich I had. It was delicious. It came with a cup of sauce, and they'd asked me what kind of sauce I wanted. I told them I wanted spicy. And I thought it was going to be, tangy, a little hot, like mild to medium. So I dumped the whole thing on the sandwich. And at the end, by the time I had finished eating the sandwich, there was sweat dripping off my face and forehead. I was just like sitting there and like at the table, and Jonathan or somebody was like, "You all right, man?" Like, because I was just like. So I kind of did it to myself. Yeah, I'm not a horse anymore. I'm a dragon now. But my sandwich of the week is a really hot. It's called a pig pile, actually. That's what the sandwich is called. Okay. A really hot and spicy face melting pig pile sandwich. One of the most unique things I've said on the show. Anyway, what is your sandwich of the week?
So we're going to my favorite place that I like to go get. A good Italian sandwich, and that is the chicken parmesan sandwich at Giovanni's on Linda Vista Road in San Diego.
Giovanni's?
Mm. Yeah. I go there often. I go there, I go sit at the bar, and they can tell that I've had a long day. I don't want to talk to nobody. They just, "James, yes, I'll take this, Danny. Give me my Coke and my water. And I'll drink all of it in like 3 seconds. You give me my sandwich, and I am going to be happy."
What do you put on your sandwich?
Oh, no, it's just chicken. And then I have a marinade and then mozzarella cheese melted and all nice squished together.
Ah, it sounds so delicious.
Good. So good.
I always go for one of those. Yeah.
I mean, it's a pricey sandwich. But I tell you, on a day where... Like yesterday, everything was going crazy and everything was trying to be worked out. I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
This is just what you need. Your comforting sandwich of the week, as it were. Well, we definitely have given you guys quite a pun intended earful on, but as we wrap up this episode, the thing I'd really like you guys to walk away with is simply the point that I'm going to just reference Harry Potter. The recorder chooses the individual. I don't know, the audio expert. So let's say, so if you're, if you just need to, make college recordings or record lectures or meetings for your own personal use, just to take notes with or whatever it might be. You don't need anything super fancy. You can get I think an Olympus DM720 would actually be a little excessive for that purpose, but that recorder does happen to have presets built in that are designed for recording lectures and stuff. And on the flip side, you could get the Zoom H1E. And both recorders you'd be very, very happy with. Now, picking one over the other, the Zoom. It's just, it's a newer recorder. It does, it has the 32-bit float ability. And I just, I think it just has slightly better quality mics. And then, you know, anything up from that, you know, if you want to, if you're a Kelvin and you host like three different radio shows and, you know, but
I might have two podcasts, but that's just, you know, one radio
show. Right. But still, you record a lot. So you might need, you know, like a Zoom H4E or heck, even an H6. And actually, I'd say if you're like a big organization and you go around, you know, doing a lot of interviews and reporting and journalism and stuff like that, in that case, go for a Zoom H6. So that's pretty much my short recommendation. So before we wrap up this episode, Kelvin, is there anything you would like our audience to walk away with?
The cat got the tongue.
Yeah.
I think as we go through the seasons of life, we face many struggles in our lives. But the question is, are we going to waste that pain that we feel today? So I want to encourage you to say, don't waste that pain. Let that pain give you joy and help you live beyond your challenges.
That's a good way to wrap up this episode. In any event, thank you guys so much for coming back week after week after week and joining us for Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes. Of course, if you've got feedback or questions for us, Aftersight, or any of our podcast hosts, call 720-712-8856 or feedback@aftersight.org. Anyway, I'm your host, Evan Starnes. This is my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your childhood.